You know the music, everybody. You know the rock music. Don't lie. You know it. It's the Basketball Card Strategy Show, episode 6. I'm Paul Hickey with nooffseason.com. And I've got Gary from Hoops and Cards who joins me on the Basketball Card Strategy Show. And he has an amazing podcast and website, hoopsandcards.com. Gary is my main man when it comes to talking all things basketball, NBA. And he collects more than just basketball. He's knowledgeable about more than just basketball, but basketball is his main thing. So we welcome you all to episode 6 of the Basketball Card Strategy Show on the nooffseason.com sports card content network. And this is also an episode of Hoops and Cards, right, Gary? We're recording an episode of Hoops and Cards right now too, I think.
That's right. Yeah, thanks for the collab, Paul. And you were so generous in your intro, man. I don't feel like an expert in much of anything, but definitely an NBA fan. So it's great to be with you. And yeah, love to collect and invest too.
We try to on all of our shows. And I know Gary does this on Hoops and Cards also. He's very humble. And sometimes I'm not. I don't always come across as humble. But I will say, I am personally somewhat new to sports card investing. Like it's only been 2 years for me, but when I get into something, I get into it hot and heavy, and I go all in and I dive really, really deep and I put a lot of time in. So that's my way of saying that we're confident in the information that we're bringing you, but we know that our audience may know way more than we do about basketball cards, and we love to learn from our audience. And I know Gary feels the same way I do. So to any of you out there, like, please take our information with confidence, but also know that we like to learn from you as well. So chime in, let us know what you think, drop us a comment, and we'll learn from each other.
Sounds great. Yeah, Paul, you're so right. I one of the things I love about Hoops and Cards, like having a part of a basketball card only community where, I try to stay current, but I learn so much from the listeners and the interaction. I get some great deals and think about cards in a different way because everybody brings a different personality experience. And yeah, get each other better.
For sure. And now that said, we each are building a community. You're building a community at Hoops and Cards. I'm building a community at nooffseason.com. I have a premium product that I'd like to give away free for a year to the listeners of this show. So if you're interested in how to get our sports card investment report free for a year, please email me at paul@nooffseason.com to find out how. And check out nooffseason.com just so you know what it is that I'm talking about with our premium product. One thing is we put out content all the time, but we've got a lot of ads on our site. So one thing I've added to the website is that when you are a premium subscriber now and you're logged into the site, all the ads magically go away. So there's an ad-free experience that you can upgrade to see at nooffseason.com. And Gary, you want to tell us real quick, before we jump into our topics today, about your premium product and your community at Hoops and Cards?
Yeah, I mean, it started as a podcast that we do a couple times a week about basketball cards, but hoopsandcards.com then is our website and platform that, again, just NBA updates, basketball card news, picks. I love how your site does the top 100. We're starting to do more just rankings on a regular basis. Like five buys is an episode we do a lot, but our subscription platform is Hoops Plus, and that gets people more content, basically more insider content, more connection with each other and with myself as part of the basketball card community on our Discord. And we're doing like an insider newsletter every month with 10 picks of the month, somewhat based on topic, like 10 best vintage players to invest in or 10 best sleepers going into the next basketball season. So, yeah, Hoops Plus is just $4.99 a month. I don't have a free for the year deal. I got to work on Anchor to get that rolling. But yeah, we've been pushing people to your premium stuff as well, because you go deep into the weeds of if you're going to invest in a guy like Tyrese Halliburton, which cards should you look at and why? And some of the trends that way. So I love that stuff too.
Thanks, man. And Cam Thomas is one of my guys, as you know. And if you've listened to any of our shows on the Sports Card Strategy Show feed, you know that I love Cam Thomas. Ooh, look at that.
I thought Cam would represent today, but the problem
That's
is
sick.
He only got me an 8. I don't know if you can see that.
Oh, yeah. You know what? So you had that graded. You got it wrong, yeah. And you had it graded.
Yeah, I can't tell the difference between an 8 and a 10 on these Donruss sometimes. So I was sort of bummed because that's a rookie choice.
That's a sick rookie
mojo,
auto.
Whatever they call them. Yeah.
Yeah. So you and I are in the same boat because I was about to tell you, I submitted my 3 Cam Thomas rookie ticket autos from Contenders. I think I bought each of them for like $20 and submitted them at the $30 level each. And they're all an 8. Each one is an 8. So it's a little bit disappointing, but I guess there's only $50 into each card. So I'm, you know, we'll see what happens.
Are you going to hold them then? Like hold them for a while, or are you just like sell and get it over with?
Well, I think I might hold Cam for a few months just to see how he does at the beginning. Like, so it's the middle of September right now. So I guess I think I would need to sell by mid-November. If I don't sell by mid-November, I kind of miss the beginning of the season hype. And so if he sort of starts the season and he's not in the news cycle at all and he's not playing yet, I'll probably hold him. But if he somehow starts to his second year off spectacularly like Desmond Bane and some of the other guys did, then might see Cam listed on eBay before December.
Because I think it's just a matter of time before Kyrie finds a reason not to play, like load management or got to spend more time with my fiance or like whatever it is.
Right.
And
exactly.
Need someone to step up and score other than Patty Mills. But they also have Seth Curry. So they're kind of loaded at the guard spot, but they want to develop.
And Joe Harris is back too. So,
yeah.
But yeah, you're right. You're right. It'll be fun to see what happens. So, okay, I know you want to talk about the release schedule today, so I'm excited to hear what your take is on the upcoming basketball release schedule. But before we get into that, I want to throw you – I don't think it'll be a curveball for you, but it's something that we didn't necessarily prep for, and that is we had a great question on our Facebook group for Sports Card Strategy by one of our loyal supporters and audience members. He's actually been on the show before, Paul Fisher. He asked the question – essentially it was anyone surfing for NBA players at all-time lows before the start of the season. He threw out the names SGA, Trae Young, Jamal Murray. I replied LeBron, which was kind of an obvious one. I have another guy that I want to like that comes to mind, but I know this is a topic that's sort of, wheelhouse for you. You're always looking at this stuff. So do you have anyone that, you know, veteran, not a lot of hype around that would be, you know, without looking at the data, that could be in your gut an all-time low based on just kind of a lack of hype around them, but still high upside to come back this year?
Yeah. When somebody asks me that question, one of my first thoughts is, well, when are you hoping to get some profit out of this? Like, if you're looking at this as an investment, a guy that's down or forgotten or coming back from injury, when are you, like, how long are you willing to hold this card? Because I think with SGA is a perfect pick, but you're gonna have to hold on to those cards for a while before he gets on a playoff contender and you really see much of a jump. I don't think people are, I love him as a player, but if there's a guy that if somehow the Knicks traded for him, boom, he's on a bigger platform and they're on a team that's seriously adding talent like Jalen Brunson and, you know, all the trade rumors they've been involved in. But they're a team like heading towards the future, trending up. Oklahoma City, especially now with Chet Holmgren out for the seat, like you got to be willing to hold Shai Gilgeous-Alexander for a long time. Trae Young, I could see more immediate returns on. Two guys that came to mind for me right off the bat, Paul, would be Kawhi Leonard. I think people so quickly forget he's top 3 or top 5 in the NBA. I mean, the last time we saw him on a court, he was dominating a second round playoff series and doing all the things for a Clippers team that's still stacked and still loaded and added John Wall. So I like Kawhi Leonard there. I like Damian Lillard for all those same reasons. And they added Jeremy Grant. They added Josh Hart. They're Damian Lillard stayed and signed an extension. So I think he's a guy that is worth looking at. For me personally, I'm investing in, Steph Curry. I mean, Darius Garland. There are a lot of
our next Steph Curry.
Yeah. This is Steph Curry 2.0 right here, baby.
Gary's holding up a 2019 Panini Court Kings Darius Garland PSA 10.
Yeah, this is level three. Number? Level three, and it's a PSA 10. You know, Court Kings has different levels of your style, and they're only available in hobby boxes, as far as I know. And sometimes you can get them pretty cheap because people think they're just paper, like they're not chrome or not shiny. Yeah. But that's a card I got for $10, and I thought it looked good. I didn't think it would 10, but it did gem 10, and the latest comp was close to $200. I'm going to hold it for a while because it's a harder to find card. But the Darius Garland raw card market right now, any Darius Garland card is lower than it's been in almost a year for no reason at all. So
right, exactly.
There's a guy that I don't think he's going to be hurt by Donovan Mitchell. I think he's going to be helped by Donovan Mitchell because the team is just going to go. Which way to do my hands here? Like they're going to.
Yeah, you got it the right way. Nice, good work. Right. Up and to the right. I agree on Darius, man. I talked to Kendall on the last episode of the Sports Card Strategy Show. I think you can find it in episode 47. Darius was in the gauntlet, so each week I throw cards from multiple sports at Kendall, and it was hard to pass on a Darius Garland just 2019 Prism Silver PSA 10. They're just
right.
They're affordable. They're short print. I mean, there's a lot of them, but it's still short printed, and they're desirable and they're cheap. And I'm going to say cheap. It's $300, which is not cheap, but it's achievable. And you're not going to lose money on that card. I feel very confident that people won't lose money on that card if they hold it and sell at the right time. So those are great names. I'm just going to say from Market Movers real quick. I've got it. I'm not sharing my screen, but if you want if you want your first month for only $1 at marketmoversapp.com, use the promo code NOOFFSEASON. That will help you get your first month for only $1. It's obviously a great tool. I use it a lot. It's not like it doesn't have everything. That's why we have our own product, but it does do a great job. So I'm looking at, so Paul Fisher threw out Trae Young in the Facebook group. So I like to look at sort of the last 365 days, last 180, last 90 days, not just the last. And I kind of like to skip the 30-day mark. I kind of go the last 7 days, and then I go like last 180, last 365. So looking at basketball, I think it makes sense to look at the last 365 in the context of the question that I asked you. So Trae Young on Market Movers, he has 1,070 cards total out of those 1,070 cards. His prices are down 48%. Mm. So it is a low for Trae Young overall. Kawhi Leonard was my guy that I was going to say. So totally in alignment with you on that. 453 cards for Kawhi, total 365 days. He's down 15%. Damian Lillard, great call. Totally agree with you. 347 cards, down 44%. Interestingly enough, Lillard's volume change, meaning people are like the liquidity of him, people buying him is up 31%. So right. People are buying Damian Lillard. Kevin Durant is another guy. I just don't want people. I'm not saying buy Kevin Durant. I don't even like Kevin Durant. I just don't want people to forget about him because I think he falls in the category of the question. And 879 total Kevin Durant cards are down 57% in the last 365 days. So if you do believe in Kevin Durant, maybe you believe in that he's going to stay in Brooklyn for the entire season and make a run at the championship like he did a couple of years ago. Maybe he's a good buy. Maybe he's someone that you want to look at. You're shaking your head. I agree with you.
Drama queen, man. Drama queen. Something's going to blow up in Brooklyn. I also think it's a great time to look at guys who who are at their peak right now as players, but their values are down because it's off season and the downish market.
Yes, like, that's a good call.
Like, why not focus my energies on Giannis and Jason Tatum, like the guys that are MVP candidates right now? The Joker is way down. Luka Doncic is the best prices you'll see in him for 2 years. Maybe it's my risk thing, Paul. I don't, as much as I believe in Kawhi and Damian Lillard, I feel like right now's the time to get in on Giannis. You know,
I so. Love it. I'm actually really glad you brought this conversation right there, because I think sometimes I'm guilty of looking at, okay, what's this play that no one else is maybe thinking about? And I got to like bring that to the table so people can think about it. And I think that's fine, but I also think it's risky. And sometimes the best play is right in front of you, and Luka and Giannis and Steph, you know, Steph's like still in his prime. And so those guys are, I think, better buys than some of the other names we mentioned, even though it's all a good discussion. So would love to know what you guys all think in the comments. Like, let us know if you think we're off, if you think we're spot on. Let us know what questions you have, and let us know who you're buying. Like, what are you interested in? But yeah, we've got Giannis as number 4 overall. Luka's in the top 15. Steph's still in the top 10. So we're definitely on the same page there. So anything else you want to add to this before we get into the what you wanted to talk about on the basketball upcoming release schedule?
Yeah, I'm like you. I'm guilty of trying to find the guy nobody's thinking about, or the deal on a guy that's down. And part of it's because I've done well at that in the last 2 years. I'll be the guy at the card show that I know who Jalen Brunson is and nobody else does yet. Or I know I'm tracking with what's going on in the NBA. So I think I can get a good deal on Tyrese Maxey when a lot of people are still focused on, you know, James Wiseman.
Totally. Yeah.
You know, so
and you talked about Anfernee Simons, you've talked about Trey Mann, you've talked about a lot of guys where you're definitely ahead on players. And I think it's good to I see
Anthony Simons. Got me a 10. That's nice. A 10 hollow that I'll probably keep for a while. But yeah, part of the reason I even went back to, hey, just buy the great players that are doing it right now, is because I'm having to force myself to do that. Like, I'll be at a show and I'm like, man, I'm trying to find Cam Thomas's. And then I see a deal on a superstar, you know, Steph Curry or a LeBron James card that I'm like, why is that price so low? Well, now's your time to buy, dude. Like, I, you know,
yeah.
Spend, you know, some of the rest of the season when dealers or sellers don't realize what they've got, when they're holding that, you know, Jarrett Allen silver rookie auto, like they didn't know who DeJounte Murray was until the playoffs. Like, I'm not insulting them. I'm just saying when you specialize in one sport, you can usually be ahead on the prospects or the guys that are emerging. But right now might be the best time to buy, like you said, great players that are coming back, or great players that are just doing it right now, you know?
Yeah. And they're just, I like what you're thinking. They're just low right now because it's September. Everyone, you know, it's week 2 of the NFL season and week 3, I think, of the college football season. So everyone's focused on those sports, and there's nothing in the headlines for basketball right now. Like, I'm watching old ESPN 30 for 30s to get my basketball fix right now. Just to watch some old stories and stuff. But yeah, for sure. So, all right. Well, you're a big card show guy. Do you also buy online, or do you mainly look for your deals at card shows?
I do have a bunch of saved searches on eBay, so I know when a card that I like pops up. And I do, I would say, like, I'm a card show guy on the weekends, because Saturday is when it is. But during the week, I think because everything's available on my phone now, like whenever I've got some free time, I'm checking the comps, or I'm looking at, like, during breaking news, the Donovan Mitchell trade, I'll go on 2 or 3 times that day and see, like, okay, who's buying his cards? How are the auctions going? How are people reacting in real time? That's how I've made some money, by starting to time when I'm selling cards online based on, when is that guy playing? Justin Herbert has a game Thursday night. A bunch of his cards sold last night.
Totally. You
know, Mahomes too. So, but I would say I find my best deals overall at shows, and I'm fortunate to have, you know, a good card show here two or three times a month within 20 minutes of my house. So I wish everybody had that access.
Yeah, and Cleveland in 2024 for the National, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we're hanging out. If we don't meet face-to-face in the next 2 years, we're for sure meeting in 2024.
Yeah, I can't wait. That will be awesome. And I've heard, I mean, it's been in Cleveland before, and I've heard it was just incredible because the IX Center is huge. And yeah.
That's awesome. I'm excited. So I'm going to the London card show in one of my last hurrahs here in Europe before we move back to the States in December. I'm going to the NFL game, Jags versus Broncos with my son, Max. And we're going to go to the London card show is the day before the game.
Awesome.
So we're going to check that out, and I'll report back to,
they need to give you like all access media passes and promo stuff. You need to get behind the scenes and broadcast live with what teams are playing. Like, who are you going to see?
It'll be the Jaguars and the Broncos. So I'm hoping for
Russell Wilson.
Russell and Trevor are both healthy and ready to go for that game. Hopefully.
That'll be a blast. Are you going to broadcast or tell us about the show? I'm sure you will.
I will for sure tell you guys about the show. I'll probably take a little B-roll on my phone while I'm walking around the show, and then I'll probably do like a, I'll do a recap for sure. So, and I'm hoping to meet some of the, there's been some audience members who have DM'd me on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Pack Rips Mahomes, I think is his name on Instagram. Okay. He must be in Europe because he's DM'd me, and we're going to try to meet up at the show. And then Ty from Card Talk Pod, I think, has said he's going to be there.
Awesome.
At the
awesome.
Show. So I'm going to try to stalk him and talk to him. We'll see.
Nice.
Anyway, nothing like a 41-year-old man trying to track down like a mid-20-year-old kid, you know, no disrespect to the right. to the 20-year-old kids out there, but. Nothing like that. It's like nothing like the hobby, right? You know, we're all in it together. All ages.
Last man. Yeah.
Takes all types. So, all right, cool. So the release schedule. I've got it in front of me here on Cardboard Connection, new release calendar. But why don't you lead? Hoops and Cards audience, Gary from Hoops and Cards, why don't you lead the discussion on the upcoming basketball release calendar and what you think the impact is going to be on basketball card investing and collecting?
Yeah, everything is late this year. You know, a couple of weeks ago, Basketball Optic released, and I did a little article on hoopsandcards.com. Like, there's a lot I like about Optic, and it's cool seeing all those, like, every new Evan Mobley that comes out is exciting. I keep showing these. This is that Blaze Hollow Donruss that got me a 10. Again, I have no idea how Donruss is graded, but the Donruss was out like what, at the end of last year, maybe early 22. And we're just now getting Prism Optic. In the next couple of weeks, we're getting Select at the end of this month. And then the beginning of October, we're getting Mosaic. Those are, like, in my mind, the last two desirable retail products of the NBA. And, you know, we could talk about each one of those because we're going through a series called Basketball Cards 101 as a podcast about, like, the things you need to know, like the essentials about basketball cards, the hobby, one whole episode here about the brands. So you've got like the affordable El Cheapo is what I call them, like Hoops, you know, NBA Hoops comes out early, Donruss comes out. Those are paper. Donruss is a lot nicer and has hobby boxes and better parallels, some autograph cards like the Cam Thomas we looked at. But then Prism is still the most popular product, right? And that didn't come out until, correct me if I'm wrong, Paul, late July. I mean, we waited forever this year. And yeah, COVID and Panini's busy, but it seems like they put out so many types of cards, everything from those low-end Hoops to the higher end National Treasures, Impeccable, Flawless. The thing I would say, yeah, I'd love to get your opinion on it, because there are entry points for everybody, right? You can go in on a small budget if you just want to collect your guys. You can get NBA Hoops, you can get Donruss packs, boxes, or singles even at a show or online. You can get affordable cards of guys you like, or you can get investable cards that a lot of people are after, like the Prism, right? Especially Prism Silver, like you mentioned earlier, the Prism Silvers of rookies are always liquid and the chance to grow in value as those players improve. Select, I would put in that same category, only you don't, well, last year they really overproduced Select. I'm curious to see if they do that again. Remember that? Mm-hmm. They did the whole retail blue, and it was like, at first I was buying Tyrese Maxey and Desmond Bain and Halliburton of last year's sets, and then I saw, oh crap, they printed like a bazillion more than they ever have of those blue retail selects. So
yeah, that kind of ruined a lot for me. Select just shout out VJ Patel. Welcome to the show. He says Prism Silver is my go-to. So I like that. Love that. Welcome to the show. Glad you're engaging in the content and commenting. Keep it coming. We love it. If you have any questions, let us know. I think so. Yeah, Gary, you're right. Prism came out in July. Okay. July 8th is what Cardboard Connection says in terms of when it came out. National Treasures came out on the 20th of July. So then after that, we had Recon on August 5th, Obsidian on August 17th, Inception Overtime Elite, which is different.
Yeah. High school dudes. Yeah.
Yeah. On the 24th, Donruss Optic on September 2nd, Panini Black on September 9th, Illusions on the 9th, Chronicles come out next week on the 21st. This is all still for 2021-22.
Right. We're getting ready to see Paolo Banchero and Jaden Ivey.
Exactly. And this is what happened last year, right? So this is like basically what happened, pretty much what happened with the LaMelo Ball, Anthony Edwards class that you were just talking about was Select. Select didn't come out until Anthony Edwards was already into his second year and LaMelo were already into their second year. And the reason why I say it kind of screwed, so 2021-22 Select doesn't come out until October 26th. Yeah. And so that's going to be...
Well, they're showing Select doesn't come out until the end of October.
Yeah, that's what Cardboard Connection's showing right now. And that's going to be Cade and Jalen Green and Mobley and you know, this past year's rookie class. And like you said, we're getting ready to see Paolo and... Jaden Ivey and Jalen Duren from my Pistons. Hopefully they can compete. But anyway, I think the reason Select sort of ruined me is because like it was the first sort of calendar year where I learned by experience about like what happens to Donruss after Prism comes out, you know, and then what happens to everything else when Select finally comes out? And then what happens to Select when Select has way too many variations, like you just said? So it was just kind of nuts. But the point that I would like to make from a basketball 101 standpoint is that as a collector, there's really no wrong answer. Like you hear a lot of people make a broad statement. A lot of content creators will say, oh, just collect what you like, just buy what you like. And like that applies if you're a collector. If you're an investor and a flipper, which I full admission, full transparency, that's what I'm doing. That's what my content is about. That like, I realize that the collectors have to exist for there to be a market. And so I'm thankful for the collectors and I'm not trying to like ruin anyone. But at the same time, there's a lot of content and even collectors sell and flip. You can be both. Most people are both. And so from an investor standpoint, there are wrong answers. Like there are wrong answers that I've learned the hard way. And so, you know, VJ making his point earlier about Prism Silver, you know, that is typically not a wrong answer. Like that's typically a right answer. And you know, things like, you know, you were holding up a lot of Donruss Choice. Every single one that you held up was some type of hyper or variation or serial number. Those are typically more of the right answers and not the wrong answers. I caution people to be, that's a nice looking one. Nice
red
looking
gold.
There. The red gold.
A little bit harder to get, but that was a 9.
So in your mind, help differentiate the sets from a basketball 101 standpoint, if you're looking at it from an investment standpoint, which ones would you say generally are the top ones? Which ones would you say might be have some sleepers in them? And then which ones would be like just completely avoid?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like what you said about collectors and investors. There's a little bit of each, I think, in all of us. But as you're looking at the new releases, whether I'm a collector or an investor, I would not want to overpay for stuff just because it's new. Mm-hmm. So don't buy the things, whether it's online or in person. I wouldn't buy select when it comes out. I would wait a few weeks. Like you can wait and get that Evan Mobley select for, you know, it the first cards drop and they go online and they sell for like 10, 20 times what they're actually going to be worth after everything settles. So I would look at, if I'm an investor, the cards that are numbered of any of these new sets, there's always going to be some interest there. The cards that are high quality as far as how they're made, which would be in my mind National Treasures, Flawless, Impeccable, and Immaculate, those four I always love. All of their cards are numbered, like even their base are numbered to 99, and that's something that the Hoops and Card community has like helped me see. Like it may be popular to chase after that guy's rated rookie or that guy's prism or that guy's select tricolor, but those could be overprinted, and those will be overprinted because they're made for retail distribution all over the world. Whereas some of the more elite, like I'll take National Treasures, for example. I was able to get a Tyrese Maxey National Treasures. Like it's an emerald parallel of their regular card this year, numbered to 5. And I got it for $40 on eBay. And like a numbered to 5 card that like as a collector, I love Maxey. I'd love to keep it for a long time. But again, it's numbered to 5. How many people are going to be chasing after the high premium looking Tyrese Maxey card, right? So one of the other 5 cards, right, sold the other day on eBay for $150. And I'm sitting over here, I paid $40 for mine, but I don't really feel like selling it yet.
Yeah.
There's a lot of those premium level base cards right now, numbered to 99, that you can find rather cheaply on eBay. And when I say rather cheaply, I mean $30-$40 or less. Now I'm not talking about Cade Cunningham's. I'm talking about a lot of the other players. Okay.
Yeah.
Prism, the benefit of Prism and even Prism Silvers is they are the most liquid. There's always going to be buyers. There's always going to be opportunity. I would just say, I don't buy the wax boxes in the hopes that I'm going to get a good Prism Silver card, because you have just as much chance of getting a Dayron Sharp rated rookie as you do a Cade Cunningham. You have just as much chance. Like my son and I opened a couple of Prism blasters and it was fun. Like he did get a nice Josh Giddey ice, you know, those silver cracked ice cards, but we also got a Jalen Green, where the Jalen Green rookie that I was like, in fact, I told my kid, I'm like, you can have all the cards in this box, but if there's a Jalen Green, it's mine. And the Jalen Green, the last card, like one of the last packs he pulled out was a Jalen Green. He's like, dang it, it's Jalen Green. I'm like, buddy, thank you. But the Jalen Green was like this. Like it was way off center.
Way off center.
And I'm like, are you kidding me? The nice thing about buying singles, especially of Prism, and especially in person, is that I can actually hold the card, see if there are scratches, smudge marks, dimples, off centering. You know, I can decide, is this a good investment or not? And I would lean towards Prism because they're all of their parallels in Prism will have a market, will have buyers. I don't feel the same about Optic. Like people aren't interested in the Pink Hyper or some of those optics that are overprinted, or Select. That was the other thing. Last year, Select, as even though they overprinted with retail, they also made like 10 different variations. The red, green ice, the red, orange shimmer, the red. And like people thought those were really cool. But those are overprinted too. Like those are just, they're not a good investment. So if you're looking at both, I would say find something that's a card of a player that you're looking for, you know, a guy that you're waiting on. I'm waiting for Evan Mobley's prices. Like when you said the Donruss goes down when the other releases came out. So that's when I waited and bought my Evan Mobley for $10. I wasn't going to pay 50 when it was the only Mobley in town, like only one you could get. So be strategic in when you buy and then what you buy. Like I didn't buy Evan Mobley base Donruss. Buy at least something that's unique, especially I think we've learned more in the last year, Paul. Buy something that's numbered. Yep. And sometimes I'm just waiting to buy an already graded card because then I know, because I have one, like I said, that Cam Thomas was an 8. To me, I can't tell the difference between that and a 10. So in some of these, I'm waiting for a graded, affordable off-season Mobley instead of.
Yeah, I think that's all amazing advice. And I think a lot of that goes to answer VJ's question here, which is we won't tell your boss that you're not working. We actually, I love the fact that people are not working and instead they're listening to and watching the basketball card strategy. So VJ, shout out. So he says, his question is, going into the NBA season, what players/cards are worth keeping an eye on for investment? So Gary just gave some great info on this, and I'm sure he's going to elaborate after I give my answer. I'm going to be specific on players and cards, but first I'm going to combine the two. So I'm going to share my screen. And for those of you listening, I'm going to articulate this, since you can't see this, but, okay. Players and cards all at the same time. Here is a Jalen Suggs, rookie patch auto from National Treasures out of 49 for $250 or best offer. To me, this fits the profile of a few things. And Gary just hit on some of these. Number one, this set came out in July. It's September now. So you wouldn't be buying at the hype of the release. That's great. Buying at the right time is very, very important. And I know probably VJ, that's one of the reasons why you're asking this question right now, because you want to buy something now, which is smart because it's a great time to buy basketball cards. $250 or best offer for Jalen Suggs, who is the 5th overall pick last year. That's another thing that fits my profile. Last year's rookie, lack of hype around him, but he's the 5th overall pick. This is also serial number to 49 on card auto with, you know, from a desirable set, one of the most desirable sets, National Treasures. It's got the rookie card logo shield. The patch isn't anything special, but it doesn't really need to be. That's probably why this is listed. One of the reasons why this is listed at 250 or best offer. You know, we can't see really the condition of the card. You know, it may not be in the best condition. There may be some soft corners, things like that. I think that's okay. With a card like this, I would say that this fits my profile. Another one, a guy that I'm less high on, but I know some people are really high on it. He fits my profile, would be this Herb Jones rookie ticket auto. And I'm a big proponent of the Contenders rookie ticket auto. This is $48. So to me, this is another, you know, very achievable card, very low price compared to other rookies from last year. He's up and coming player. I think underrated in a Pelicans team that could make a run, could be good for a while. Actually, they could be on the, they could be like kind of like the low key Cavs of the West kind of a thing. And there's more. I mean, so in general, the Contenders rookie ticket auto, the Optic Contenders rookie ticket autos. Here's a Bones Highland. You guys have heard me talk about him before. There's 2 days left in this auction. This card's at $13.50. This is a Bones Highland rookie ticket auto. 2 days left. So it's probably going to go for, I don't know, a high of maybe $75, which to me is still pretty cheap for Bones. I've got a Bones Highland. I bought a Bones Highland version of this Jalen Suggs National Treasures. It's actually, it's a clutch factor, so it's a little bit different. It's not, this is a triple patch auto out of 49. I bought a clutch factor on card auto relic out of 49 from National Treasures for $85. And that's going to sell, like, since I bought it, it sold for 135 and then 206. So first round picks, guards. I mean, I know Herb Jones is a forward, but it was a very inexpensive card. First round picks, guards, last year's rookies, sets that have already been released. I love the cheaper Donruss plays as well, but these are more higher end cards for not as much money. Gary, what do you think? Am I reaching or am I on the right track here?
No, Paul, you're on track. I want to emphasize, guys, if you are getting a National Treasures rookie auto like that Jalen Suggs, and I think yours is this way. He's in his Orlando uniform, right?
Yeah, he is.
Because just some of those premium products, they also release a college or a draft picks version, and I just would stay away from them. They're nowhere near the upside or the draw that having those, unless you're living in that college town. Like if you live near UK, then you want to buy Tyrese Maxey in his Kentucky uniform because you've got buyers that you can brag to. But seriously, the pro uniform's worth so much more. I was curious to see what players you put up there. There is something about guards that can score that are going to get an opportunity. And you mentioned my guy Bones Highland. I absolutely love because he's fun to watch. His stats from last year match up very well comparatively with Tyrese Maxey's rookie year, and very similar player that can score from pretty much anywhere on the court and brings energy. That's the thing. The team just wakes up when he comes on the floor. So I don't think Jamal Murray's return is going to hurt Bones at all. I think it's going to help him. Paul, I was going to say too, if you're looking for a guy or two that going into this season, maybe he's already arrived, but he's still a good bargain, is Tyrese Haliburton.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
He's a 2020 rookie, everybody.
Yep, but he's one that was like kind of waiting for an opportunity, and then Sacramento dealt him to Indiana, and it's his team now. And he's going to be, he could be 20 point, 10 assist guy. He could be an all-star this season. And I think if you wait till Christmas on Tyrese, you'll have missed an opportunity. I think there's some great deals on him right now.
Nice call. I got some questions. So I just pulled up, and actually real quick, VJ Patel, thanks again for the comment. Yeah. You're in the UK. That's awesome. VJ, are you going to the London card show? Because if you are, on October 29th, we should meet up. Okay, question for Gary. This kind of goes with what we were saying earlier about the releases, some being investable, others being not investable. I struggle with this from time to time because I like what you're saying about Haliburton as a player that you could miss this window to buy. You talked about December, right? Like between now and December, maybe you miss that window because he could be an all-star. So there's a Contenders Optic Red out of 149. I would say that is a very desirable card, but there's 2 days left in the auction. It's already at 172. It's probably going to go, it's probably like a $350 card. There's also two below it is a very desirable card. The Optic Holo Rated Rookie Silver Auto. It's at 370, your best offer. That's not cheap. It's a very desirable card. In between it, though, is where my question is. And feel free to comment on all of these cards or even just this one. This is a buy it now auto out of 99 from Rookies and Stars for only $112.50. So if this were me a year and a half ago, I would have been like, give me this. It's only $112.50. I love Tyrese Haliburton. It's a rookie auto. This is going to appreciate. It's going to double once he makes the all-star team. How do you look at the situation between these three cards and this one in particular, how these are priced?
Yeah, I resonate with what you said. A year ago, I might have jumped at that card, right? If I really believe in Haliburton and it's an autograph. But now I would stay away from an ungraded Rookies and Stars card when there are other options. I think that's the thing, guys. When I recommend a Haliburton like that, it's part of it's because with a couple of his cards, specifically Silver Prism, and I got an Orange Cracked Ice Prism Raw that I think is going to 10. And I got it for 10 bucks as a throw-in on a trade. So I'm like, I've been watching those prices for a while. I think maybe it's because where I'm at budget-wise, if I'm going to spend $100, I will have done my research for a week or two, and I won't make an impulse buy. if I make an impulse buy, it's because I'm at a show and I see that card I've been sort of building a connection with or watching over a number of weeks and saying, oh man, that guy has a Ja Morant, you know, red, white, and blue prism. And it's only, he's only asking this. And I bet he would take this, you know, the Jalen Suggs you pulled up, love that card, but I wouldn't pay $250, especially when he has or best offer. I would offer.
Right.
And guys, don't be afraid to offer half of what a guy is asking on eBay, because sometimes they'll accept the offer.
Totally. I think that's kind of the general rule of thumb I would follow. I would agree with you. When I list cards, I list most of the time double than what I expect to get if I'm doing a buy it now or best offer.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just want to see what I can get.
Right. Right. And when I used to live closer to a card shop that carried all the brands, like they had this big release calendar on the back wall, and they would get all the high end stuff and all the like affordable stuff too, but they would get Flawless, National Treasures, all those things. And the day those things would release or the day after, if you bought a box and ripped it, they would say, you got to list that stuff today and sell it to capitalize on the newness of it. But they would say, list it as like super high, not because you're a jerk, but because, hey, they're going to make an offer. And at times, you know what I'm saying? That's a starting place, especially a new product. You don't know what the market is yet. So I don't want to sell a Jalen Suggs for, you know, $100 when it might be $150 in a couple of weeks, you know, or yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's smart to offer. I'm glad you brought that up, because I think $250 is a good price, but because he has or best offer, I would totally offer like $125 and just see what happens. So let me ask you another question. And then we'll VJ asked the follow-up about Tyrese Halliburton and National Treasure. So I want to address that, but I want to ask this first. So Origins is kind of a set that I struggle with, like Rookies and Stars. We've kind of ruled that out. I think everybody kind of knows why. It's just a lesser, it's not as desirable of a set. That's the reason why it's priced so low. I mean, he might get that, but he might get it from a collector and not somebody looking to flip it. If you're looking to flip it, I wouldn't buy that. I would do more research and try to find something that's more liquid. That's just not as liquid of a set. Origins I struggle with, because again, this is a nicely priced card. It's not graded, which is kind of a red flag. And it is or best offer, 180, but it's Origin sticker auto, not serial numbered. So to me, this is one that I would kind of avoid as well. What do you think about this one?
Yeah, I hear you with the sticker auto. I think more and more people are preferring the on-card auto. And did you say that one is not numbered?
Correct.
Because that set Origins does make numbered versions of that same card, I believe, that you can get. So I would be looking for, man, if I'm going to get in on Halliburton and it's going to be between $100 or $200, I would want to do my research and look at how liquid is this potential card in case I want to get out of it in 3 months. So that's where, man, Silver Prism is at the top of the list, and you can go to eBay, search for that card, and go down and click sold items, not only to see the comp prices, but to see, hey, how many times has this card sold in the last month? Because that gives you an idea of how many people are buying it and how frequently is it available. And if I need to sell it in 2 weeks for whatever reason, right? I find a better card and I just want to flip this one. Okay. But I need to know there are buyers on a regular basis. And it's not really a sexy pick right now, Paul, to say anything about a base card. But the PSA 10 of Anthony Edwards and the PSA 10 of Ja Morant base cards, those things flip just like that. And they flip within a range of, like, you could buy one yesterday, a Ja Morant, for $160 on eBay and probably sell it in 5 days under a buy it now for $200 or $220, just because people are buying and selling Ja Morant base 10s. Like, so I'm drawn to the liquidity of things, you know?
Yeah, that's a great point. I think, like, to make money on more commonly transacted cards, even though they might be base cards. If you can time the market on those, you can make a lot of money just flipping the same card over and over again.
Yes.
The copy of the same card over and over again. Absolutely. The PSA 10 base of a rookie of a superstar, young superstar with a lot of hype. If you can buy, and Ja and Ant are the perfect examples of that. If you can buy them at the right time, and then just sell as soon as there's a price spike or a hype cycle, that's a great call. So VJ also asked about Tyrese National Treasures rookie autos. I don't see many listed, but yes, just on the fly kind of search. This one
beautiful
is a nice card. It's got some soft corners, but it's a nice card. It's numbered out of 49. On card auto rookie from National Treasures.
How much is that?
235 or best offer. So I would say, like, I would offer, like, I'd lowball at like a 115, and I'd just be like, hey, would love to take this off your hands. Looks like it has some soft corners at the top, but like, let me know what you think. And you can write that into the comment to the seller and just see. But it's not a new listing. It's a reputable seller. There's only one watcher. So I think you could lowball this offer as well and see what you could get this card for. And Pepit_0. I apologize if you're watching or listening to this. This is the seller. saying to lowball you, so I apologize for that.
Hey,
but
he's probably the watcher. He's probably watching his own item just so it looks like somebody cares.
That's funny. So VJ, hopefully that helps. I'm with you on VJ says sticker autos with like a puke face emoji. I would say like the same thing, just because if your budget's like $250 and you're looking for some autos, like you can get on card autos for the same price as some sticker autos. So Gary's holding up our guy, Darius Garland. This is Upper Deck Aces.
Yeah, this was from the National. They had packs of Upper Deck at the National this year, and Darius signed, because he doesn't sign a lot of Panini stuff at all, but signed it and numbered it. But it's one of those stickers, right? You can see the, I agree with you though, on card. I think one more thing I would add, Paul, is you asked a question. I'm sorry, I kind of rabbit trailed on a few things about, like, you asked something about what are some of the the lesser known brands or sets that people should know about or could know about. And that's what's when you brought up that Tyrese Halliburton Origins a minute ago, I think Origins is a great looking card and a little bit harder to find. I think Court Kings is, they produce some beautiful looking cards, but a lot of people don't really know about them because they're not one of those hyped produced retail type sets. There are others in that vein. I don't know if you have a favorite. I think you keep mentioning the contenders autos, right? Or the contenders optic. There are some unique brands that come out each year, but it's good that we're looking at, of these players. If you want to get one card of a Halliburton, that National Treasures auto number to 49 is a pretty sweet one. And maybe your play is to just wait for the best deal you can get before the season starts on something like that.
Yeah, I agree. And so I think that goes with VJ's follow-up question here. He says, if I say I've got 100 pounds and I'm trying to flip, what's the move across all markets? Ooh. I think 100 pounds is like maybe $125. This is the basketball card strategy show, but we'll take it. I'll give two answers. I'm going to give a couple basketball. I'll give multiple answers, and Gary can give his answers too. I'll give a soccer, an F1, and a basketball answer. Off the top of my head, a Lando Norris 2020 Topps Chrome base PSA 10, I think, is at like an all-time low right now. So that could be an F1 answer to get a Lando and sell it when there's a hype spike around Lando early in 2023. So that's an F1 guess at a good play. We've got F1 card strategy show as well. So check that out. We have a soccer card strategy show as well. Kendall and I talk a lot about, we've talked a lot about Vinicius Jr. a lot lately. There's a lot of soccer guys I'm high on, but I'm really, really high on Vinicius Jr. I think you can probably get his, he's a quicker flip. I think you can get Vinicius Jr. with this budget, a base Donruss rated rookie PSA 10 for this budget. And I think that will go up because I think that Brazil has a chance to win the World Cup and Vinicius Jr. has a chance to be the hero of the World Cup for Brazil. So that's a soccer guess at a play. VJ loves Lando call, so that's good. And then my basketball call should surprise no one. I'm looking at a Cam Thomas. What do you think of this one, Gary? This is a Cam Thomas Panini Noir out of 99 on card auto. And it's a rookie patch autograph. It says it right on the card, rookie patch autograph. Nice. And there's 37 watchers, 7 bids. There's 3 days left.
Huh.
So this should maybe go for more than VJ's budget, but it's only at $51.01 right now. So it could go for less than $200. I'm not sure. I think you make money off this card, regardless of what it goes at.
Yeah, I think it's a gorgeous card. Did he say what the time frame is for making money off this 100 pounds?
No, that and you, I'm glad you said that because you answered another question of mine earlier with the same thought process, which is it depends when you're going to sell the card, and that's very crucial. He doesn't say so. VJ, he says he's got Vinny too, Vinny as well. VJ, can you chime in the comments and let us know if you have a chance when you want to sell this, or you just kind of open on, like, you know, maybe the next year. That's typically my default, is that I think people can wait a full year cycle.
And what's your risk tolerance? Because one answer is Zion Williamson and the other answer is less risky.
Okay, so I love that you said that. I mean, a Zion Williamson, say optic base PSA 10, let's just look at that. I think you can get that for less than 100 pounds. Zion Williamson optic PSA 10. Let's just look at the sold listings recently on this. For those of you listening, I'm going to read them off. $75. That's typically what that one's been.
Wow, that's great.
So VJ says 3 months. Okay, so that's where Vinicius Jr. fits the 3 months. Lando, probably you're going to have to wait more like 6 months. I think to see that Zion, I think there's a $49.99. So you could buy two of them for your budget, potentially, but you could definitely get at least one of them for your budget. The Zion 2019 Panini. There's nothing special about this card other than the fact that it's a PSA 10. But to Gary's point about Zion, this could go up in 3 months for sure.
Yeah.
Or it could tank. I don't know.
You know, the other thing about that time frame, Paul, is I've been showing my PSA cards, the graded cards. A lot of these I got yesterday in the mail, and they were at PSA for only 2 months. And this was the national July deal that they had $18 a card. And they said it may not be back for 150 days. Well, it came back in like 50 days. I think they've caught up on their backlog, and they've increased their turnaround time. And I'm not being paid to say this, but just grading a card then is an option. If you want to buy a nice centered, silver rookie of Anthony Edwards and send it into PSA and it comes back as a 9 or a 10, you just made a chunk of money in 3 months. You know,
I like that too. I like that a lot. I got a couple Mobleys and a couple Jalen Greens out of NBA Hoops and submitted them at the $18 level in July, just because I was like, I got to come up with 30 cards to make the submission. And why not take the risk on these two players? NBA Hoops is the least, probably the
Did
least
you get them back yet? Set.
No, they're in grading right now. I sent them in. Sent them in at the end of July. So this is actually like, I'm glad you asked because I think this is useful information for everybody. So I literally put them in the mail on July 31st. That was a Sunday, so I put them in the mail on August 1st. Barely got the discount because my slip of paper showed that I had made the submission on July 31st. So it was right when I got back from the National. They showed as arrived at PSA. The arrived designation showed up in my account a month later. So it took a full month to show as arrived.
No.
But now they're in grading, which is, it's only a couple weeks after that. So now they're in grading, which I think there just was maybe a little bit of a backlog getting that super value $18 promo submission in to the system. I've had other submissions go into the system a lot faster. So my guess is that it was because of that price point. And now they're already in grading. So I feel pretty good about it.
That's great. They're moving faster.
Yep. So I feel your pain, VJ. He says PSA from the UK to the US is 30 pounds plus. That'd be a pain in the ass. I think because I live in Spain and the only time I send anything to PSA or SGC is when I travel back to the US to visit family. I'm just like huddled up going through cards and then going to the post office like constantly. So that's when I do it, just one time a year. But
Paul, what's your take on some of these where PWCC or eBay right now doing their vault where you don't ever have to see the card. You can buy it and they will send it to PSA for you, you know, and then you're saving on some of the shipping and some of the grading fees they're able to get a good deal on. Do you know what I'm saying? There are options.
Yeah.
I guess the downside would be you don't get to hold the card and see, like I said earlier, are there smudges or scratches or dimples on it? Like you're kind of going on whatever quality picture they put online. But I know a lot of people are using those online vaults and sites to not only store and display cards, but to cut down on things like shipping time and costs and yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so for me, I've had my choice has either been like, don't really participate in the hobby at all or use a vault service. Mm. So I couldn't stay out of the hobby. I would have been obsessed with it for the last 2 years. So in the summer of 2021, basically, so from January 2021 through June 2021, I bought a crap ton of cards and had them mailed to my in-laws' house in Tennessee. Drove my in-laws crazy. God bless them. They're the best people ever. And I even had my parents ship down my old card collection from when I was a kid down to Tennessee, went through all of my cards and decided some of the cards I had purchased were raw and some of them were already graded. And so I decided to send a bunch of them to open up a PWCC vault account and send a bunch of them to PWCC. Yeah. And at the time, part of my strategy was, okay, like I am going to, at the time, PWCC was still on eBay as a seller, as a consigner. So my plan was I'm going to sell some of them through PWCC's eBay account. Cause that at the time, that functionality was really nice. It was just like click a button. They list it on eBay for you. You know, you don't have to really do anything. They kind of promote your auction, that kind of thing. And then I was also going to open up my own eBay account at the time, try selling some of them through my own eBay account and then kind of test and see like which one works better and that sort of thing. But all the while, PWCC photographs my cards, puts them in my vault. I can go into my online account, take the photo and use that photo on my eBay listing, et cetera.
Hmm.
2 months later, PWCC gets kicked off of eBay. So all my listings get taken down that were in through my PWCC account. So I was I probably had 50 listings that were part of the, I don't know, 100,000 PWCC listings that got removed from eBay in like a 5-hour period of time. So then I relisted all of them through my own eBay account and have since August 2021 have been selling not only selling through my own eBay account, shipping from my PWCC vault to the buyer, but I've been, to your point, also several times have all my cards that I buy on eBay or anywhere ship to my vault. And then if I want to have them graded, I have PWCC make a grading submission to PSA for me. I've had, it's interesting, the reason why I'm responding in this manner is because I've had several grading submissions from PSA returned to my vault to then sell on eBay. But my most recent PSA submission was just of three cards that I decided to open up a collector's vault for a couple different reasons.
On eBay, right?
Collector, well, eBay has a vault, but also
collectors with PSA.
Has a vault. So what I think I'm going to do is use multiple vaults. And the reason why is because if I continue to only use PWCC, I'm going to have to pay a fee for PWCC to intake the card. And then for me to ship the card from PWCC, there's another sort of outgoing fee along with the shipping fee that they charge. Whereas if I have PWCC intake the card and then I have it graded at PSA, if I keep it in the collector's vault, then I don't have to ship it back to PWCC, pay that shipping, and I don't have to pay PWCC the intake fee, and I don't have to pay PWCC the outgoing fee. But if I know I want to sell it, I could sell it from my collector's vault. So you see what I'm saying? But now eBay has a vault. So now what I might do is experiment with the eBay vault and see, does it make sense if I buy an already graded card to just have it sit in the eBay vault and then sell it on eBay? And then, but what would really be the prime for everyone, and this is where it kind of gets like the NFT discussion, is then if I sell to somebody else who has an eBay vault who wants me to just transfer it to their eBay vault, now we're both saving on that. And so I've been in the vaulting space for about the last couple of years, and I'm a proponent of it for a lot of reasons, but also because I have no choice. I've come to just deal with it. But now I'm thinking, like, as much as I love PWCC, I'm thinking, okay, they're not the only option, and they're not the best option depending on what your situation is. Long-winded answer.
Yeah. We should do a vault off. We should have like a vault episode comparing these and let them like, pay to represent their companies and see, you know, test them out. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I know my guys from PWCC are listening right now. They're loyal listeners from the show. They're trying to get nooffseason.com and the Sports Card Strategy Show into that sponsor discussion. So no time. And actually, ironically enough, the media buying company who is representing eBay reached out to nooffseason.com. So I got my fingers crossed on a proposal I sent them to advertise the eBay vault. So all of these vaulting services make sense for them to sponsor the show and for us to talk about, for sure.
And there used to be, and there still are, I guess, in existence, the vaults that you could have raw cards at, like ComC and Starstock. I got in on and tested several of these for prospect cards. I must have sent in 100 cards to Starstock and have been buying and selling cards on ComC for 2 years. And I think partially because of the importance of grading, I have stopped doing both of those things. I still have probably 50 to 100 cards at each platform. But I used to love that Starstock would, if I bought a card there that was raw, it would be, they gave it a grade, like Starstock A. This one could 10 or 9, right? Or if I sent a bunch of cards in raw, they would enter them into the system free, and they would appraise their condition. So if I send in a card, they could say, hey, this is a star stock A. I could send it from there to PSA to get a 10, you know, or at least a 9. And now I don't know if there's a place that does that with raw cards, sort of a you know, appraising their value. It seems like these vaults are mostly already graded. Am I right? Or it sounds like Go ahead.
Mostly, well, for Peter, yeah, I mean, I love everything you just said. I think that that's, I totally agree. And I think that that's like a great strategic move. And I did love that about StarStock as well. I use StarStock a lot. I don't anymore. I used to, but, and I haven't really used ComC because I haven't had like the volume I think that would make sense to send into ComC. But yeah, so specifically, PWCC charges $10 per raw card just to intake it. So it really doesn't make sense if you're looking at buying, like if you're trying to make a play on like a $20 raw card that you want to have vaulted and then shipped to the buyer at some point, it makes more sense to have it graded because then they only charge a $2 fee for intaking a graded card. So it can really cut your entire profit margin. Like if you wanted to buy a raw Davion Mitchell serial numbered rookie, and you know it's only, you know, it's not autographed, so it's not that much money. You know, you might eliminate your entire profit margin just by sending it into PWCC, which also, like, I think people need to, this is just another side note, like, I think people need to be careful about, I've had people send me extra bonus cards to my vault. One person at one, when I bought something from them as a gift, they included a sealed pack of like 1993 football cards, which was like a horrible year for football. Great gesture by this person. Thank you. But like that actually cost me like $15 just for PWCC to intake my, so like as a seller, when you see the buyer's address is like ship my cards or PWCC vault or ComC or something, like don't send them extra cards or like ask them in the message, like, can you receive extra bonus cards or extra bonus cards?
You don't want to have to pay. Yeah.
Because you totally can screw the buyer of your card by sending them a gift if it's not like clearly a residential address.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Just a little tip.
A little free advice from Paul on a Friday.
Free advice. Okay. Well, a couple more questions from VJ before we wrap up. I love it. So, VJ says he saw Hoops 2012 Kawhi Leonard PSA 10 for 120 pounds. Let's break this down. So we'll go
Kawhi Leonard. Did he say Hoops brand?
Yeah. Hoops PSA 10. Okay. One just sold yesterday for $125, $124.99. I'm just going to take that one just to be brief here. And then I'm going to do USD to GBP, and that's 109. It's 110 pounds that it sold for. So it's right in there. I mean, it's right in there. But I would try to go less just because, like, it's hoops base, and I think there's more desirable Kawhi cards.
But, oh yeah, Paul, I was gonna ask. Yeah, I was going to ask if you would look at the market movers on that card for the last 6 months and see, was it selling for higher anytime recently? Because I don't know that Hoops is a brand you can count on profiting from.
In general, no, but with Kawhi and 2012, it's still not great, but I know what you're saying. So that's a good, so that card on Market Movers in the last 365 days is, it started at $52 last year. This is a Gem Mint 2012 and ended at $90. So it has gone up considerably over the last year. That's one example of that card. So that's like one, that's not like aggregate sales of that card. Right, that's like one example of that card. So,
well, and did it go up because a year ago when it sold for 50, that's when Kawhi was injured and announced that he was going to miss the season. Was it down because it was going to go up, or down because Kawhi was down and out for a year?
Yeah.
Now he's coming back. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I would try, like, VJ, I would try to get it for less just because it's a pretty common card. Like, let's look up the, let's, here's, so Gary, like, we're kind of, Gary and I are kind of walking you through our process here. So looking at the most recent sold list, the most recent sold listings is always a good thing to do. So we do that. Then we try to go over to market on eBay. Then we try to go over to Market Mover. You also go to 130 point.
Yeah.
To see, because then you get eBay and my slabs. And then, so just step by step here, eBay sold listings, 130 point, then Market Movers if you have it. If you don't have it, get it for $1 for your first month by using the promo code no off season. Then go to psa.com/cert. Sorry guys who are listening, 646-85970. 646-85970. I'm going to share my screen. psa.com/cert. What I did was I looked at the most recent sold listing of this card in PSA 10, grabbed the certification number, typed it into psa.com/cert, and it tells me that it's a population of 417. So that's a pretty low pop count. That's not huge. That's not like a typical NBA hoops, like mass produced pop count. PSA price guide value says $80. That's typically a little low. I think it's a little high. I think it's a little high, but I don't think it's bad. I think that there's room for that card to go up. I would say like, and VJ, he says, I love that. My process isn't as detailed. No worries, man.
I do
teach a little bit on the show. So go to marketmoversapp.com, VJ, and use the promo code nooffseason, and you'll get your first month for $1. And then email me at paul@nooffseason.com, and I'll tell you how to get our product free for a year, the Sports Card Investment Report. Sorry, Gary, go ahead. What would you do with this card?
Well, I had that card when I was sort of dabbling in cards in 2014. I bought a bunch of those hoops boxes, and then I, you know, put them in the closet for a number of years. And about a year ago, I found that Kawhi card, that exact card, raw, and sold it. But no, I like that card a lot. I was going to ask you, like, if you buy this card, and for whatever reason, in a month or two, it goes down. Is it a card you would enjoy having for longer term if you had to? Because on one hand, you could say absolutely, Kawhi is a Hall of Famer. You know, he's going to be back eventually. You know, and I think it's a great card to have. On the other hand, you might be like, well, shoot, I was hoping to make money in less than 3 months, and you know, Kawhi's rehab isn't. He's not coming back as soon as they thought he would, and the card's going to go back down. You know what I'm saying? So I would just say, are you willing to hold it for a while if you need to? Paul, I'd love your take on, if I'm looking to make money in 3 months, should I be looking at a couple of NFL quarterbacks right now because they're in season, and you could buy a Lamar Jackson right now, and in 2 weeks he throws for 4 touchdown passes, and there's a boom right there, you know?
Yeah, I think,
like, no, it's a basketball card show. Sorry, but we went to F1 and Vinny Jr. I got to go Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, no worries. So on the Kawhi, I will just kind of close this at, I in general would not buy this card only because I personally don't love Kawhi. And I think while it could go to like maybe $200 at some point over the next 12 months, I don't see a huge ceiling for this particular card. I think he would need to win the championship for it to go over $200. Mm. Whereas I think if he's just a good NBA player for the next 12 months, then it could be like an $89 card. So I really think this is a perfect example of like where the price point really matters. There's not a whole lot of margin, I don't think, unless you're like a Kawhi guy. So I like what Gary said. Yeah. In terms of the Lamar Jackson call, yes, for sure. depends on your risk tolerance and depends on like how much liquid cash you have. Because if you believe, I believe in Lamar Jackson. I believe like he's the perfect example of a guy that could, his cards could spike ridiculously high in one good game.
Yeah.
Because he's won an NFL MVP before. He's still young. He's electric. Like he, all the things. He's like the man. He's been in the top five of our sports card investment report very recently. I think he's still in the top 15 overall. He's in the
top like five. Overall sports. You got him in the top five.
I think he's in the top 15 still.
Okay. He's not top in the five top five. Football. I would agree with that. I think he's a massive opportunity right now.
And I think that if you've got a high risk tolerance, a good belief in the Ravens and Lamar and liquid cash, I think it's a great call because I think it could definitely, like, you could definitely make money, take some money off the top, reinvest it, or just keep the cash. But yeah, Lamar's number 15 overall at nooffseason.com. Number awesome. 15 overall. So he's definitely like, I think he's a better flip than Patty Mahomes. I think he's a better flip than Justin Herbert. I think he's a better flip than Russell Wilson, Josh Allen even. So he's ranked, I've got him ranked above all those guys. I think that it's as high of an upside as he has just as much of a risk because to buy him right now is risky. To buy him in late November or early December is a lot less risky because we will know more about where we will know more about where Lamar stands in the MVP race, and we will know more about where the Ravens stand towards a playoff run. And cards, I've seen football cards actually go through a lull during that time of year. And then the biggest hype spike, according to Andy Kaysen, our resident football card expert from Football Card Quest, the biggest hype spikes are basically January through like May for football cards. So you could actually, and then the second biggest hype spikes are August and September. So you could wait till October, November, even early December to have a better gauge on buying Lamar and just monitoring Lamar, picking out a card, that sort of thing.
So hopefully. Yeah, and one thought as you're saying this about different times of the year, and I started to think this when you were talking about Kawhi. You know, basketball, there's still another month, a little over a month before the season starts. And most investors that are involved in multiple sports, they're not thinking too much about basketball right now. But the ones that are, the people that are starting to buy basketball cards and starting to invest and ask those questions, it's helping me to watch, okay, who are they buying? Like what cards are getting multiple sales a week right now? And to me, those look like recent cards of Anthony Edwards, Ja Morant, and I'm going to stop there. I should probably add LaMelo. I should probably add Luka and Cade. But like, look at the guys who are selling now, because those guys are going to continue to sell. And once that wave of people who are all excited about the NFL, once they start to look at basketball cards, guess who they're going to want to buy? Anthony Edwards, Ja Morant, LaMelo Ball. Like, it's just going to keep going up. And that's before the season. That's like the next 4 or 5 weeks. So that's why I'm like my personal, I'm buying Ja right now, like going to a card show tomorrow, hoping to find an Anthony Edwards PSA 10 that I can trade, you know, get a deal on.
Yeah.
Because those are the guys that even in the off season are selling frequently. And you're right about Kawhi. He's not. And if he is selling frequently now, it's not a hoops card. You know,
so
just there's probably good investment potential over the next 3 to 6 months with that card. But if you want something that could be just a constant sell and going up, Anthony Edwards.
Ant-Man and Ja. I love it. That's a great advice. All right, Gary, one last question. This has been the VJ show. I love it. VJ, yes, good VJ. Work out of you. We need more VJs for sure. There's loads of basketball sets within retail and high end. If I were to focus on one set, which would it be? Soccer has Chrome, UCL Prism, F1 has Chrome, Topps Chrome, and soccer and F1 definitely. Which is basketballs. So this is a good, Gary, I'm going to let you take this. I'm going to shut up and not say
okay.
anything.
I know what my typical answer is, but the question, VJ, since you're on the, you're like the third co-host here with us, is, and I love it, it is, well, what are you hoping to accomplish when you're buying that set? And what's your budget? Because if you were to tell me, man, I really like exclusive, harder to find cards that are, I don't mind paying more for, then I'm saying National Treasures. You know, if it's, I just want the popular stuff that everybody's chasing after, then I would say Prism. Prism for sure. If you're saying I'm on a limited budget and maybe if I get some nice, you know, a nice rookie, I'll send it in to get graded, then I'm saying Donruss. Those would be my three. But it goes to like, what's your budget and what are you hoping to accomplish? Because I like right now for my personal collection, and I do have some cards that I've set aside over here and saying, okay, even if that card's going up, I mean, I know everything has its price, but even if this card is going up, I want to hold on to that card because I think it's really cool and I want to display it for a while. For me, those are the patch cards of LeBron and the National Treasures Tyrese Maxey, like something that is just a unique limited number card. Does that make sense? And if I want those things, I'm not going to get the select patch. I'm not going to get the contenders patch or the, you know, I'm going to get National Treasures Flawless Impeccable. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does to me. I think those three sets, the way that you broke that down makes a lot of sense. And I think like, yeah, also what you said to me, it sort of seems like if you're going to spend, like, I would look at it like Crown Royale costs a certain amount. Origins costs a certain amount. Those are not cheap sets. But if you're right. going to spend money on those types of hobby boxes, if you do the math, like you're not that far away from a more liquid accepted type of set. So if your goal is to flip, I would not go for those cards. But if your goal is to have like a really unique serial numbered LaMelo Ball card, well then like the first steps out of, I think it's Crown Royale has the first steps, or Court Kings.
Court Kings. Yep. Where they show Court their Kings. Shoes.
Yeah, Court Kings has the first steps. Like, that's an awesome card. Like, especially if you're, you know, like those kinds of, if you're into like sneakers and, you know, like a serial numbered rookie, low serial numbered rookie that features their sneakers on the front and their photo on the back in their pro uniform. Court Kings, that's cool. But if you're looking at like flipping, Court Kings is not the best because not everybody likes Court Kings. There's not like a market for Court Kings necessarily for
flipping. And Paul, sorry to interrupt you, a question that I've asked him, like, for as far as flippability, if that's a word.
Flippability for sure. Yeah.
Think about when I'm gonna buy this card, how would I describe that card on eBay? Meaning I've got to use words like 2019 Panini Prism Silver. Like, so the reason I'm saying this is as I'm listing that card, how many words are popularly searched or like are like people really hunting after? Because Prism's going to sell faster because more people are searching for those. And the search words are a reflection of the demand. And so like, if I'm buying an obscure brand, you know, how many people are searching for Court Kings? Well, the answer is not as many as.
Yeah. Not that many.
You know?
Yeah.
So how many people it's just knowing the words. They're not searching for autographed. They're searching for auto, you know, knowing what people are searching for on eBay and realizing, hey, if I'm going to be a seller as a business, you know, thinking as a business, I got to go where the customers are looking. I got to put in their language. And then I find cards that fit that, right? That
totally.
I can list that way.
That's exactly right. And it really is hard to sell cards. So I think when you buy a card, you do have to keep in mind, like, if you're buying a card to sell in a few months, which is kind of what the theme of this has been the last like hour of the show, is like, you have to know your plan for selling that card before you buy it. And I'll give you a specific example. So if you do a little bit of research and you know things like what Gary just said about the Ja and the Ant Prism PSA 10s liquidity. Even though they're high pop count, they're liquid, so they're easy to sell. It's hard to sell cards. So if you find a Origins auto of even Anthony Edwards, or like a Hoops hot rookie auto of Anthony Edwards, it almost doesn't matter that it's Anthony Edwards, because you have to then, if you want to sell that card, you're not going to get a lot of eBay views. So what you're going to have to do is actually like go on Twitter and like search for people with PC colon Anthony Edwards in their profile, and then like DM them about your eBay listing. So if you want to spend extra time doing that, trolling through Twitter and Instagram for people who PC Anthony Edwards, I think you're limiting your buyer pool to people who PC a particular player if you're going to go get a cheaper, more obscure version of an auto or of a variation or something. Whereas if you're going optic hollow or prism silver or, you know, national treasures or the more commonly searched cards, you're not going to have to do that. So, All right. Good stuff. Gary, you got anything else to add on the basketball card strategy show before we sign off for today and hoops and cards episode?
Yes. Yes. Everybody, thanks for listening and watching. I know we've had conversations about this rookie class and the upcoming rookie class. And, you know, Paul, we've had that phrase, like, who's the next Darius Garland? Who's the next Tyrese Maxey? I feel like I'm just going to keep buying Darius Garland and Tyrese Maxey. They're still in incredible deals. Why would I really hope some of these other guys get the opportunity to shine. Like, I wish Bones Highland was a starter already. He's not, you know, Jordan Poole's not a starter yet. Like, but Darius Garland is, and his prices are back down to whatever they were last January. It doesn't make sense to me. So I'm buying those.
I love that. So we talked for over 91 minutes, and basically the takeaway is buy Anthony Edwards, Ja Morant, yes. Darius Garland, and Tyrese Maxey. Perfect.
Pretty much.
But hey, hopefully, Gary and I had fun. I know that VJ did, our new friend in the UK.
Yeah, VJ.
And hopefully all of you did as well. So let us know what you think of the show. Everybody, I'm Paul Hickey with nooffseason.com. He's Gary with hoopsandcards.com. Check him out. Go to your podcast listening app and type in Hoops and Cards. And we'll talk to you all soon. Thanks and have a great day, everybody.
Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, Gary. Here comes the rock music, everybody. Let's do this.
Got an Anthony Edwards auto right there, baby.
Let's go.